Hi, this is The Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to was originally recorded back at DEF CON 1 in 1992 at the Sands Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Now, the Sands has since been blown up to make room for something new, but the speeches live on. All rights are reserved except for educational uses only. If you'd like more information about DEF CON, please contact us at dt@defcon.org or visit our website at www.defcon.org. Now, get ready to sit back and listen to a great speech, and I hope to see you at a future DEF CON. Woohoo!
Well, I started out putting together this speech. We decided when about three of our people, for various reasons, kind parole officers denying them opportunity to speak and such, that, well, hell, you know, I'm helping to organize this thing. What a great opportunity to say a lot of things I've been thinking about for a long time and want to speak my mind about. So put myself right on the list. The topic of my discussion is going to be the future of the computer underground and how it relates to emerging technologies and where technology trends are going, and just for a little perspective on who I am. I was in the group NSA, the alleged group, excuse me. I've been out of the pirate scene for some time, but I was in it for a long time, very heavily, so I have a good understanding how that works. And I've also worked for a couple software development firms, including Microsoft, at a technical support position. I really follow the industry. I love it. Great stuff. So, yeah, especially Microsoft. Boy, are those quality programs or what? Oh, yeah. I'm going to start off with just freaking in general. It seems like freaking has changed a lot. Since I've started and since before my time, you know, we started in blue boxing a long time ago, but most recently, up until a few years ago, codes have been it. People have been using codes, abusing codes, doing what used to be fairly safe things with codes constantly, continually. That's ending. I have a feeling that it's going to completely end in the future to a large degree. Security is going to increase. There will always be room for high-level freaks to abuse the system and to get around the system. But the problem is, when you're a freak and you're starting out and first learning about things, you don't start off high-level. So the only thing you can do there, possibly, if you don't know what you're doing to begin with, is to screw around with things you don't know about. And I mean, I see so many hack freak boards start up these days, and people, oh, I got this new 800, and it's a safe one, trust me about this, and here's a few codes, and you can use it. I'm like, no. So I think the code kids are dead. That's the good news. The bad news is you have to be really good in order to get what you want these days. And that's not entirely the case today, but I think tomorrow and the future ahead it'll get more and more that way. I'm gonna move to hacking now. Hacking's been evolving continually. I think hackers are probably the best people as far as the computer underground, the best faction that adapts continually to change, because things change so fast and security holes change and operating system of choice change and develop. That's not a word. Yes, it is. And emerge. Constantly changing, but I think a couple of things. Internet, obviously, is now in a place where no one would have dreamed 5 years ago, perhaps not even 3 years ago. And more than that, we can see where it's going. I mean, people are excited about internet now, half for what it is, and it's incredible. There's too much out there. But I think the reason people are truly excited about internet is because they see what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years. Just some thoughts for you. Imagine if every citizen's on the net. No reason not to be. ISDN every house. 250 million people in this country on the internet. Imagine, say, an operating system on every one of those computers, OS 2 or NT, something with TCP/IP, something that can hook into the internet, where you, say, have 100 million computers on the internet in America alone. those numbers compared to what we have today are drastic. They're severe. Now, I have no clue what percentage of people who use computers hack, but just using a random number off the top of my head, say 1 in 10,000, we'll have 100,000 hackers out there. That's a lot more than we have now. 100,000 hackers hacking, you know, 100 million systems in the U.S. alone, and, you know, times the number of countries out there, things are going to get really severe. Personally, although it's against my best interest, I'm hoping that things will get more secure. I'm hoping that people, your average Joe on the street, can be somewhat confident in knowledge that the stuff on his computer is his, and there's nothing to worry about. And for that matter, I hope I'm going to be that way, too. If I'm going to have my operating system running in there, you can be damn sure I'm going to be keeping up on every single security flaw, but not everyone else is. And it changes what hacking is to us. Right now, it's hacking corporations, attacking faceless corporations, and people we know are making a lot of money and won't mind a few CPU cycles and won't mind, you know, if we peruse little mail files and do little things. But when you're hacking people, the morality of the thing changes. You're hacking people. These are people systems. And that'll get more and more in the future as things go. You'll be hacking more and more individual systems. And if security gets tighter, once everyone's on the net, of course, the corporations, if they have any brains at all, will get a lot more secure than the individuals, which means the individual machines will be easier to hack, and the corporations and education places will be harder to hack, which isn't ideal for me. Interesting stuff in corporations and educational facilities. of course, that brings to the point, will our computers be safe? If all of our computers are safe, are on the net, I mean, personally, if I know about a lot of security holes in something that hasn't been patched and there's no source code to recompile, I'm pulling my machine off the net when I'm not on it. I mean, I don't trust us. piracy, I think, is one of the most interesting as far as the changes that are going to occur in the future, one of the most interesting areas of the computer underground, because piracy, since it started, has always been the same idea, the same paradigm, which is a bulletin board, people upload, you know, you have your distribution networks, which has been pretty solid for the past few years, just the way things work as far as how things get around, how things are distributed. You call up a board, you know the people locally on the board. Well, as it stands now, I think I could safely say 99% of the pirates out there have never been on internet. And those 1% of the pirates that are on internet and are on channel wares and there are using DCC, I think they are going to be the future and the head of piracy. I mean, that's what piracy is going to become. There won't be bulletin boards anymore. There'll be private discussions and perhaps some message bases on systems and God knows where, but everything will be on internet. True. Which is a challenge that we will face as hackers. To make our line secure, to make our chatting secure, and then the pirates, no doubt, will kindly take from us, but I don't have a problem with that. those 1%, they're going to be the future of the internet. And I have a feeling that the 99% out there will be lost for a long time. I mean, if someone's done for their entire pirate career, since the beginning of piracy, and there's people out there who's been, you know, well, I started on my commie with my 300 baud, and now I'm 500 gig lines and 30 lines coming in, and I'm God. You know, of course, I've never been on the internet, but I hear it's pretty cool. They're dead. you know, which, personally, I really wouldn't mind. You know, it'd actually be kind of nice to see the people who are... Yeah, I mean, I see discussions about software on bulletin boards. People are fairly clueless. about what's going on, what software's really like. On Channelwares, I accidentally jumped on there. People surprised the hell out of me. They're talking intelligently about the software industry, things that were happening, emerging trends, hardware that was happening. So I said, you know, I've never, this shocks me. I've never seen anything like this. Any pirates who know even intelligently discussing anything, I'm very impressed. They botted me off immediately, obviously. There we go. That looks like page two. Another area which is going to continue to develop, and it's very important that it develop, because I think Gail's right, our laws that currently exist are really scary. The people who were writing the legislation, they were approving and voting for it, didn't know a thing about this. Not a thing. The people they were briefed on was the law enforcement, hopefully, some at least, I hope, and special interest groups, but I can assure you there was no LOD representative talking to a Senate subcommittee, unfortunately. And I think it slightly changing topics here. I think the morality and the law are kind of closely tied. When you start out hacking, if your moral ambitions are high and you want to be a good hacker and you want to not really screw with things and just get on systems, secure them so you can stay on and you know, not cause any trouble, use little resources maybe. The law really doesn't distinguish that if you're, you know, installing your trapdoors and your backdoors and stuff between semi-malicious intent. And for that matter, when people realize that the penalties for doing that sort of thing are perhaps greater than all these great immoral acts, so they could be making some cash, having fun. For a lot of people, I mean, that'll screw up their sense of morality when they see that the law isn't right and that they might as well just do what they can get away with. Why not? I mean, the law should be set up to differentiate between just doing what I consider a good hacker to do, to look, to explore, to learn, and not to hurt. And malicious hackers and people are out for profit. Profit is the immoral thing about hacking. When people hack for profit, I don't consider that hacking. And I know a lot of people who don't consider that hacking either. That's just being a high tech thief. I have good friends that are thieves and everything, nothing against them. let's see here. Some more general griping about the law situation. My fear always was, I quit hacking, by the way, pretty much after I turned 18, or tried to. Cut down severely. Obviously, I don't hack anymore, Gail. the fear is not the penalty the law is going to impose. That's not the fear. Our fear isn't, it's of getting busted, yes, but it's not the fear of what your conviction will be at all. Your fear is, A, your stuff's going to get confiscated. All your stuff's gone, everything. You have no way to get online, no way to communicate, everything's dead for you. That's number one fear. Number two fear is if it gets so far as legal costs, you actually go into court, you're screwed. $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 for $100,000. And that's the real penalty. That's the people's real fear. Dark Druid, for instance, he's terrified of legal costs and what they will accrue. And then the sentencing, you know, once the kind lawyers haggled all out is low, perhaps, in most cases it is, but they're still dead. Their family's in debt, you know, et cetera. We've all seen it happen again and again. The legal system isn't supposed to work that way. That's not how the country was set up and designed and stuff. The idea was that when you got convicted, then you got penalized, not accused, stuff taken away, legal costs killing you, and then a slap on the hand. What that means is that anyone that's accused of hacking and that's actually brought to trial, anyone that people wish to do this to, already have full penalization, which means more or less penalization without conviction. Very bad, very bad. seizure. I've seen cases, and I've seen cases. Dark Druid, friend of mine, example. A year's gone by. Still doesn't have his stuff. Warrant served. Stuff taken away. Still kind of waiting around. That's not necessary. This is computer stuff. This isn't a smoking gun. There's no a smoking gun. It wouldn't take that long. There's no reason to keep it. The data is the evidence. You can copy the data. Technology exists. In fact, to this very limited extent, I'd gladly help any law enforcement set up procedures where the confiscation could be minimized and people could get their equipment back as soon as possible. I'll show you how to set up good copying things. But the problem is, and seeing this, I have a, yeah, I guess things moving. Hearing Gail talk and seeing the real issues that they face, I have a lot of sympathy. I mean, the law as it was set up wasn't done by intelligent, well-informed people. It needs to be changed, and it needs to be outlined greater. The penalties for things need to be stated more clearly. There needs to be a real differential between hacking for profit and not hacking for profit. But at the same time, I'm terrified of that, absolutely terrified, because once these senators and congressmen get down to scratching down a new law, everything could get 10 times worse. If the only people they're hearing from are the people who are enforcing the laws, obviously they're not hearing from all sides of the issue, then the laws are going to be slanted. I think Judy brought up a great point when she said that this is all our responsibility. Changing laws, making things happen, making things work. If we're not helping the problem, we're part of the problem. And finally, on the law again, one more problem I think that exists is the ignorance of not necessarily the prosecutors or the defenders, but A, the judge, and B, the jury. These people, and they shouldn't be you shouldn't expect an average Joe to understand all this stuff and understand the implications and know what's really behind the scenes. Note that the people here are good, and we're not evil people. And more than that, know the technical issues. I'm sure you've all read the quote from the Steve Jackson trial. The defending attorney, X-Modem, Kermit, those great tools for computer crime. I mean, that's straight out deception. I mean, that again is wrong. Yeah, hey, those things are dangerous. Be careful of your Kermit, folks. if anyone has any questions or a little somewhat open discussion, that'd be. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but you were saying earlier about hackers affecting legislation. They were talking a couple months ago. Manuel Goldstein testified before some subcommittee.
Four.
I'm not absolutely sure, but they basically trashed him. They said that you're a criminal. You shouldn't be publishing this magazine. And you're evil.
Isn't he?
They like that they read his testimony or were interested in anything that he brought up. They just wanted to to publicly disgrace him, I guess.
Right, like they prejudged him, or
yeah, I feel like I got just to maybe clarify a little, at least what he had done, that was, there's a preprint of it in Computer Underground Digest, if anyone picked that up, it was like a couple of issues ago. And he just basically felt that not so much they were putting him down or being derogatory, but that a lot of his comments went unheeded. And I really recommend everyone try to find that issue, but I can probably try to remember what issue it was. But, I mean, the speech he gave was fantastic. I mean, it's just unbelievably good in the fact that he tries to keep it as unbiased and just give what he feels is wrong. And a lot of that has been addressed here. And he said that the biggest frustration for him was after giving this, and obviously well-prepared speech, you know, it was like it went through one ear out the other of all these congressmen, and it just went unheeded. And if I could just add one other thing, I was happy you brought up the thing about seizure, because that is directly involved with my bus. I, for so much as logging onto a unit system and looking around and exiting, they took two computers, all my software, even the code I wrote, which obviously wasn't copyrighted, wasn't illegal or anything, and I never got any of it back.
It's a story I've heard from every single friend of mine who's ever gotten busted, and from most everyone I've heard secondhand. These stories, they all ring very, very similar, and it's pretty frightening. And I think that's a good point. Pick up that CD, and if you wanna change things at all, the first step is knowing about them and knowing how the civil liberties are going and keeping informed on things and knowing. Being aware of your rights, being aware of what the law is, it's important, you know, because, you know, when I get hauled off in cuffs, it's nice to know, well, they're just harassing me, it's just a dot mil fight, nothing to worry about. Hypothetically. thank you for your time. Cool. I'll do some more questions. Anyone? Comments? Questions? Thoughts? Yeah.
We have to do packing with more and more of the software that comes out is more transparent, because like big trend I see is everything is becoming completely transparent. What people won't see, those who then try it, they won't see anything happening behind the scenes. They won't see any directories or filings or precepts or anything. You mean
when it gets so far as virtual reality?
It's happening right now with various industry standards that are being worked out probably in the next year or so, where people can see the product. They don't see anything that's happening.
I think
you'll see more hacking going on in such an environment where people don't know what's happening, or do you think more people will just be signed because they don't see anything working?
I think one of the great and beautiful things about our friend Unix is that there's source code there. And the source code is available, and people have a good idea, and you can cheerfully recompile, you know, when you want to. Yeah, true. And I think when things... what's funny to me is I see hackers and I see pirates just scared of GUI. Just hate it. It's awful. Won't even touch it. Won't even think of touching it. I think that's hilarious because, you know, for the people out there who aren't computer users, that's the easiest way for them to use a computer. It's the most effective way for them to work. And like it or not, things will go more and more easier for people to use and more GUI. I'm wondering if people will avoid NT sites and OS2 sites just because they are GUI. And I think if that's the case, Microsoft's underestimation in the sales of NT very well. If they sell 10 million copies, we go ISDN next year, half the net's NT. Yeah, there's some scary food for thought. I think the main problem with that is that hackers have been avoiding GUI and avoiding things that are transparent. It's just a different technical level, I think. I don't. If it can be hacked, it will be. Well, for instance, I heard a story about Workgroup for Windows that everything touching a Workgroup for Windows site is completely worthless as far as security. If someone doesn't have anything shared, no shared resources, anything, you can do anything on their machine. Just a few It's just, you just have to, the code is written in assembly, and someone at Microsoft got fired for it. But just totally compromises their software, for instance. And so that kind of shows things that don't look as easy can be. What needs to happen is people perhaps study the different GUI or different other interfaces, study the programming for them. You know, Windows API is hell, but I think it's here to stay. Anyone else?
Wait till pink.
Yeah, pink.
What is pink?
Pink is Telligent. The company Telligent's making it, and Telligent is IBM and Apple.
Yeah, try to swallow that one.
Yeah.
I'll see the antitrust.
So do I. Here we go. Overhead projector. Thanks again.